Katie Hunter from MA UK. I'm here with Anthony Pretty Boy Taylor. Welcome.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate
it. I'm so excited to have you. Just got a great win. Tell us about it. It was, tell us about it.
Oh, man. It was really fun. I was excited that, you know, making my Bellator return. But then over 3 years, since April 14th, when I fought James Gallagher in 2017 in Budapest, awesome atmosphere. Of course, a lot of the you know, attention was on Chris Avila being Nate Diaz's prodigy, but I mean, it paid no mind or attention to me because I knew what I was going in there with the mindset and focus coming in again. That's the win. That was my main focus.
Yeah, and you spoke about it being a Bellator comeback. So were you under Bellator contract the whole time and just not exclusive? Or did your Bellator contract come to an end and this was a new deal?
Well, when I first signed with Bellator 2015 into 2016, I had an exclusive 3-fight contract. Fight Gallagher, fight Bullricks. But then when I got into my third fight, I was 1-3. Bellator is like, listen, we love the energy. We love the atmosphere and attention you bring to Bellator MMA, to the organization. But Let's go out there and we want you to go out there and win on a smaller circuit to build your win, then come back. Because we're paying you too much money for us to be fighting you on the main card. And it's showing no credibility with a 1-3 record at the time. So, you know, they ripped up the contract, but I was always in touch with Bellator. Right. You know, it was like, just go in there, get some experience, win, then come back. You know, so my 3 years absent was hell. You know, having to kind of find the fights. I had my ups and downs and wins and losses, you know. But slowly, steady, you know, I reached out to a good buddy of mine, David Green from Bama, and Chris Bourne. Man, those guys were great to me. You know, we all know David Green from Bama. Man, he really helped me out a lot out there in Ireland. You know, when I came to him and Chris, the matchmaker at the time, and Jude Samuels, you know, they knew the situation. They, you know, I worked with them when Bama merged with Bellator at Bellator 169 in Ireland. So I built a great rapport with those guys in Bama, and I told Bama, I was like, man, I need to fight with you guys one day. I like you guys' atmosphere. I like your creativity. So, you know, I called up Chris Bourne, the matchmaker, and David Green, and was like, Pretty Boy? Sure, bring them on in. So that's where my comeback came, was Bama. You know, then I got to fight Combate, you know. Then I got to go to URCC, and then Bellator's like, hey, you're in the 4-fight win streak. We like to see what you got going on now that's new. Come on back. Antonio calls me, hey, would you like to fight Chris Avila? I'm like, let's do it. Say no more. Let's go. He's like, you got about a month and a half to get ready for this fight. I'm like, oh, snaps. Okay. You know, 3 weeks out before my fight, I caught the stomach flu and virus. It was all bad. But I managed it, toughened it up, and I got the victory, Katie.
You did, and it was amazing, and it must have felt amazing to you.
Yes, it was a sign of relief, but I knew I was going to win because I knew what skill talent I had.
What I can't believe is, like, with how much pressure there must have been on you to perform, how you still look so relaxed and chilling and dancing and look like you're loving the moment.
Oh, I mean, that's always been my forte. You know, I want to bring some charisma to the MMA field, because I'm not just a fighter. People say, oh, you're a fighter. No, I'm an entertainer. You know, I like to fight. Fighting is a hobby to me. I love this. It's a career. I'm not a hobby, a career. Dancing, singing, all that's a career to me. I take all that serious. I love to have fun. You know, this is what I do. You know, no one can say I'm trying to be like Floyd Mayweather because I'm not a boxer. No one can say, oh, I'm trying to be a wannabe Conor McGregor. Well, I'm not Irish. I'm not, you know. So I can just be myself. But what I can do is steal bits and pieces and parts from everybody, you know. It's like me trying to build my own cake, my own personal cake. You know, I take, you know, little, you know, recipes from this person, Betty Crockett, you know, all these recipes I try to take from all these people who made awesome cakes and try to mix in and make my own cake and make my own recipe, you know. So, you know, I do take a lot of stuff from Conor, Floyd, Pacquiao, a lot of old school guys too, and I try to mash it in one, but have fun with it. So yeah. I'm being original. You know, because you can tell, everybody knows that someone is being hella cheesy or corny, you know, but I just say, have fun, Katie. Have fun, do what you do. And me having fun is dancing in the cage, laughing, you know, that's how it is.
I think that's the best way, taking a bit from everybody, learning from everybody, but then just ultimately being you.
Absolutely. And that's the number one thing you have to do is be yourself.
I think we all remember you here when you were dressed as Apollo Creed, Bama.
Oh, God, they didn't even let me go out to the... Oh, my goodness, I wasn't saying it was horrible, but I didn't even get to fully go out in my Apollo Creed uniform, but it was okay. It was okay. But I got plenty more ideas to come with Bellator, and my walkouts is going to be even more crazier when I do get the next call.
I think you're a promoter's dream, and they must be desperate for you to win whenever you're on their card, so they can just build you for the next one and the next one.
Katie, I tell you this, Antonio, my coach, Antonio McKeevy, is always telling me, dude, Bellator keeps telling me, you have what it takes to be a superstar, the most famous person in Bellator, but you just need to learn how to fight. I'll be like, yeah, I'm doing it. Coach was telling me, like, Scott, Mike, and them, man, if Pretty Boy knew how to fight like AJ, he'll be a megastar because he knows how to sell fights. He knows how to get the crowd. Man, you just got to teach him how to fight more, Antonio. And then we all be laughing. I'm like, okay. But I want to fight win streak now. So I know it's kind of like an insult, but it's kind of like a compliment. You know, it's like, Bellator said that? Really? But then they're like, if I do fight better, maybe I will become a mega star. He was like, Anthony would be making millions of dollars right now if he just knew how to fight like AJ. But hey, it's okay. It's okay because I'm having fun. I'm on a 5-fight winning streak, and we're turning the tables with the Bellator takeover.
Yeah. So let's talk about that record, because you've done an amazing job of turning around a negative record, and I'm sure, you know, it's so easy for, you know, a couple of losses to string together and suddenly you're looking at a negative record. Now, like you say, you're on a 5-fight win streak. How does it feel to have turned that around?
Oh, Katie, it feels amazing. You know, a lot of it has to do with the motivation and the people around me, like AJ McKee, Baby Slice, Joby Davis, Marlon McGee, you know, Connor Hyatt, Adrian. You know, looking at AJ 16-0, what, you know, a 16-fight win streak. Look at Joey Davis. I believe he's 8-9-0, I believe so.
Right.
A nice fight win streak. They push you. You know, even when I'm having a bad day, they're going to push me. And the mindset over time changed, because when I got out of Bellator, you know, I had a record overall. I had a record of 2-5. Antonio was like, he told me. Antonio McKee told me, like, yo, quit. You suck. Quit. You're not taking it serious, and you're wasting my time, and you're wasting your teammates' time. So quit. You know, I didn't want to quit. You know, he's like, accept reality. You're 2-5. No one's going to accept you. You know, I tried reaching out to LFA. LFA never even accepted me with a 2-5 record. You know, and I thought I went through a bad depression. You know, I was going through suicidal depression. You know, I was going through a lot of stuff, especially the loss from Gallagher and dealing with, you know, personal reasons. You know, I went through a lot, you know, with the mental health issues, you know, but I overcame it. And that one person who really reached that was willing to help me, even though Antonio was still there for me at the beginning. You know, David Green was there to take me back. Like, not take me back, but willing to give me a chance to fight. Like, okay, well, I understand, Anthony, you got a 2-5 record. Let's see what we can do for you. You know, David Green actually was the first person to reach his hand out as a promotion to be like, I'll help you out. Yeah. Not Gladiator Challenge, not LFA, no Combate, no other organizations, nowhere in the world. But David Green from Bama gave me the opportunity to turn the tables around. And I thank him every time I see him, you know. And I bounced back. You know, I got my first win against Dean Barry. I was like, okay, okay, well, maybe. And Antonio was like, okay, Anthony, you got a win going on. I see you. And AJ's hyping me up like, yo, dog, you got one fight win streak. You on the road. That's your longest win streak. I'm like, wait, I just won the fight. How's that my longest win streak? I was like, wait, a one fight win streak is not my longest win. He's like, dude, that's, and everybody's like, yeah, that's your longest win streak. Yeah, I'm like, damn, okay. So I get my second win in a row. You know, they're like, AJ's like, okay, Anthony, we see you. You know, now I go on my third, you know, after the Dean Barry fight, I fight 3 weeks later. I call Bama, David, let's do it again. Give me your soonest card right now. He's like, you sure, Anthony? You sure? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. He's like, all right, Mike Hill, 5-0. I'm like, let's go. So, you know, 3 weeks, I come back, I handle business and out there in Bama, and then, you know, I go to Combate, boom, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm on a 3-fight win streak. You know, then I go to URCC. I win the title at URCC. I'm like, man, AJ, I might be better than you, bro. You better watch out. You know? I'm like, I'm catching up. So, sorry about that. What up? I lost you.
Did someone call you, maybe?
Someone called me, but I'm back. Let me see. Can you see me?
You're frozen to me. Am I? Oh, here we go. What's happened here?
Let me see. All right, here we are.
Here we are.
All right, so AJ's like, yeah, okay. You know, I'm like, I'm about to catch up to you, AJ. So, you know, it feels good to be in the right position where I'm at now. And, you know, Antonio, I talked to Antonio, and the route he wants to go is the development route, you know. Because if I go back to where I first started in Bellator, I'm going to be forced to fight nothing but top 10 guys with the contract that I was in. Yeah. And that's not going to be fair for me to really develop my martial arts. Because when I first got into Bellator, I fought top guys. Fought Gallagher. Yeah. I fought Boric, who was 9-0. I fought another guy who was 5-0 on my debut. You know, I never got the chance to develop my skills fighting a guy who was like 1-0, 1-1, 3-2. You know, yeah. Like how other people, my debut was kind of like an Aaron Pico kind of. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it was like, damn. And I understand Antonio was like, hey, you're coming in as the bad guy. You're coming in as the guy that they want to see if they can promote prospects. But now Bellator sees the star power and quality that I have. They're like, okay, let's see what he got. So now Antonio's taking his time with me. He's showing me the ropes. He's teaching me a lot of more things, what it is in his business, and I'm learning a lot better.
So have you got a new contract with Bellator? Is this a multi-fight contract?
No, I haven't heard back from Bellator as far as contracts talk. But right. I let my manager, Alex, and I let Antonio, my coach, I let them handle that. You know, right now they just want me to train, have fun, enjoy yourself, you know, and just keep working and getting better as a fighter. I don't worry about the contracts because the money's going to come.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I keep winning, there's no denial that why I can't receive a lot more money or why I came to receive a title shot. As long as the win is coming, I can't be denied any one of those. And
yeah.
And it's true. You know, if you're going to keep winning, you know, a lot of people want to see you lose. A lot of people want to see you win. But at the end of the day, we're going to keep winning, Katie. We're going to keep winning.
Awesome. So when Antonio McKee said that to you, when he said you may as well give up if your heart's not in it, did that really start a fire in you? Did that put a rocket up you to turn it around? Was it boredom of training, or what was he telling you off about?
That was one of it, but I think the main one was AJ McKee having a talk with me. He kind of got mad at me when I was like 2-5. He was like, "You sit around, you just come here boasting about women, partying. You ain't taking this serious. You're wasting my time. You're wasting our teammates' time. You're not taking it serious. I'm here on a winning streak. Dude, you should be here where I'm at. We came here and we started to turn pro as a pro together. And you're over here throwing your career off over nothing, like, because you don't want to work hard." I think him telling me that was a turning point, because this is like my brother. We trained together. We actually lived together at one point. And him telling me that, yo, like, I could have been where he was at, but I didn't train hard enough, spoke to me. You know, because look at the success AJ's in,
yeah,
opposed to where I'm at. You know, now I'm trying to get to where he is, but in a different way. And AJ really put some work in, and he told me off. You know, the fact that he's telling me that, like, I was being selfish and I didn't sacrifice for the team of good and trying to better myself and other teammates, and I was only coming when I had a fight coming, but I wasn't there for other people when they had fights, really spoke to me, and I really put 100% in dedicating myself as a team player.
You really come across as a team player, because looking at all of your social media, just as much of it is dedicated to your teammates' fights and your teammates' successes and as it is to yours.
Oh, absolutely, Katie. You know, but most of my... majority of all my success comes from the man upstairs, God. But definitely my teammates. Without my teammates, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. You know, they've helped me come a long way. You know, especially Slice and AJ and Joey. You know, and Pico at the time when he was with us.
Yeah.
They helped me come a long way. And I dedicate all my wins to them, and I dedicate this win to myself for the hard work, you know, because I'm blessed to have that type of talent to train with.
Yeah.
Because every time I'm fighting someone, I know for a fact, Katie, that opponent doesn't have the caliber of a teammates that I'm training with or sparring with. So yeah. I have the upper hand regardless of who I fight.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you're really proof that records just don't mean very much in MMA, because, like you were saying about Aaron Pico getting chucked in with, you know, really top guys at the beginning of his career, and obviously got a bit of a, you know, he's got some blemishes on that record now. Like, you really need to, you know, think about the opponents you're taking on, have the right people around you helping you to make those decisions, don't you? Because it's, like you say, now you want to do the development phase. And
absolutely. You yeah. know, it's crazy, because once I won the fight, I had Chris Bungard. You know Chris Bungard?
Oh, yeah.
From Scotland. It's like, he's been calling me out for a year. And I'm like, I was going to entertain it, but then it's like, bro, why fight you? You know, I'm not getting paid enough to fight you, and you're about to fight Brent Bremus. If I fought you after you fought Brent Bremus, dude, I'm pretty much fighting a top five guy in a 155 division, and I'm only getting paid, what, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 grand just to fight, though? Like, yo, that's not in no contract to be fighting no top five guy, because Chris Bungard I'm not going to, you know, disregard him. As a fighter, he's very skilled, and he's a good fighter, and he definitely is a top 10 lightweight fighter in that division, but I'm not getting paid enough to fight a top 10 fighter in that division. It's like, I fight you, I might as well fight Benson Henderson. Like, it doesn't make sense to me fighting you right now.
Yeah. No, I get that. So let's talk about someone you've called out. Logan
okay.
Paul.
Logan Paul, Chris Paul, don't matter, Jake Paul, let's do it. You know, I think it'd be a good fight. Logan Paul or Jake Paul.
Why do you think it would be a good fight?
Boxing-wise, because I just think that, like, it pisses me off that they try to impersonate a professional fighter.
signed you a very good impersonation.
No, it's like, how are you going to call yourself a pro boxer, but then you over here talking about weird things? Like, you can't boast about how good you are, how you're knocking people out. Come fight me. I'm 5'6", and I'm an 0-1 pro boxer. Come fight me. You know what I'm saying?
Would you not be scared of seriously hurting them? Because it's a real mismatch of a fight, either of them.
I just laugh the whole time when I'm punching them. Oh, you okay? Shut up. You know? I just punch him in the mouth, look at his girlfriend, wink at her, and just, oh, is this your man? I'm sorry. Shut up. You know? That's the type of stuff I do. You know, a lot of people would love to see that fight. You know, me and Slice, baby Slice, we're trying to hit up Scott so we can do an expedition boxing match with Bellator. You know, Slice can fight Logan, I can fight Jake, or it can be the other way around. Or we do an expedition MMA fight for charity or something. You know, just for charity, nothing goes on a record. It's just for the fun of it. You know, I'm feeling that we can get this fight. You know, definitely, most likely. Because him fighting Dylan Danis in the cage is not going to be fair. Dylan Danis is not going to strike. It's just going to be a boring fight. He's just going to take him down and choke him out. Have someone that he go in there who can actually build a fight like myself, who can actually build the hype up and sell the fight and fight the guy.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I want to see that, but because I think he could get seriously, seriously hurt.
He's probably would be listening to this, but hey, I can just wrestle him and take him down and choke him out. You know, I hear stories about him being a college wrestler or something. Going to college to wrestle. I mean, okay, you got a foundation. You got some boxing experience. I'm pretty sure Bellator can hook you up with a little couple smokers and stuff, you know, to build you to 4-5-0, get that confidence. Then you step in with me. You know, I just don't think him fighting Dylan Danis is not worth it, you know, or him fighting Aaron from the UK is not worth it. Have him fight someone like me who's known for building fights, who's known for selling out arenas. Me and Gallagher hold the most views for Bellator Europe. We hold about 980,000 views just on the co-main, and no one still hasn't beaten that yet.
Wow. Yeah, that's impressive.
See, I'm the man.
I know, I can tell. So let's talk about your skills inside the octagon, because we all knew you as a wrestler, and then over time, we've got to see about that power in those hands. So what came first? I imagine you were wrestling at school, were you?
I started wrestling 2 years ago.
You started wrestling 2 years ago?
I started wrestling 2 years ago. No boxing. I had no boxing, no wrestling, no Muay Thai. I was just fighting off straight pure athleticism.
Seriously?
Yeah, nothing. You can ask my coach. He'll be like, Anthony's jet wrestling is shit. It was shit. His striking was shit. Like, I was the lowest totem pole. If this was survival of the fittest, I'd be dead first. That's how bad my wrestling was at the time. A lot of my losses came from rear naked choke. And I dedicated 3 years ever since the Alan Bowricks fight to jiu-jitsu wrestling. I dedicated everything to that, and I made my style, fighting style, similar to Antonio McKee. I'm not a flashy guy. I'm more of a grinder, ground and pound guy. I'll fight you to your weaknesses and to your strength, you know, and I just like to manhandle people. Antonio's like, if you're going to be strong for 15 minutes. And I've been learning how to wrestle for 2 years now. Joey Davis has been my teacher. AJ McKee's been teaching me, and Antonio's been teaching me. You know, so I got a hang of this. I feel comfortable at wrestling any time and any moment of the fight. You know, a lot of people don't know that because a lot of my fights of me wrestling is not on the internet. Unless you go to Bama and you see Dean Barry and Mike Hills, that's all. But a lot of people don't really see the showcase of me showing my wrestling.
I find that it's so incredible that you were fighting at that level without, like, working on those disciplines. It's incredible. So where were you training before?
I was at Body Shop the whole time. I started my career at Body Shop.
Right.
You know, and, yeah, it's crazy how my whole life just turned around. Like, I think about it, it's like, man, when I first came to Body Shop in 2016, I didn't have no job. I broke up with my girlfriend, had no job, nowhere to go. Antonio opened his home to me. And funny thing is, AJ got me a job as being a stripper at a strip club where he was the security at. Yeah, a lot of people don't know. AJ was the security at a strip club for the males where all these women came in to AJ's like, hey, you need a job? I was like, yeah, I got a job for you, but don't take it any other type of way. He's like, all right, cool, cool, cool. He's like, wear this bow tie, come here Saturday. I'm like, what's this for? Just wear it. So I come here, it's a stripping gig. I'm like, okay, I did it for like 2 months to make rent and make money and shit. And Antonio was like, damn, dog, you was a real stripper. You had a strip to fight? I was like, yeah, pretty much. So, you know, I got a job stripping when I moved out here.
Is that where your nickname comes from?
Nah, I had that name for a long time in my amateur days. When I used to wear my orange fight shorts, the girls used to call me the Orange Crush, like the soda. I was like, oh, you look cute like the Orange Crush. I'm like the soda, you know. So I have so many memories. Oh, amateur days. I used to. After a fight, after winning, stuff yourself at Denny's with all these foods and you throw up an hour before the fight. And I'm like, did I realize now? I'm like, okay, I shouldn't be eating that shit before the fight. You start realizing, like, whoa, time out. Can't be eating that. No wonder why I kept losing a lot of my amateur fights. But yeah, but wrestling for 2 years, boxing for 2 years, jiu-jitsu for 6 months. And every tournament I did in jiu-jitsu, I won all my tournaments.
No wonder that you're improving so quickly.
Absolutely. I think a lot of it is AJ kicking my butt, Slice kicking my butt, Aaron Pico who's kicking my butt, Joey Davis who was kicking my butt, Connor Hyatt who was kicking my butt. And I think a lot of that, can't forget Bubba Jenkins. You know, at the time, Bubba Jenkins was here with us. You know, I'll give him some credit too. He was kicking my butt. Who else? Emmanuel Newton was kicking my butt. Congo was kicking my butt. Yeah.
That keeps you grounded, I'm sure.
Absolutely. You know, my success to those guys. Oh, can't forget Aviv Gonzalez. You know, Aviv.
Yeah.
He's one of my good teammates and best friends. He's out here training me, kicking my butt too. So these guys, I'm learning a lot. I can't forget about Aviva. Aviva, I'm sorry if you're listening, so I apologize. Don't hurt me.
So let's talk about who you would like to fight next. You've mentioned a few names. I think it was a little while back. Tom Mearns is someone, obviously, that we know really well over here. And also Mike Hales, that rematch with him. Do either of those still interest you?
Oh, absolutely. I can't. Man, also don't forget James Gallagher. We're gonna say this real quick, Katie. My number one goal is to fight a rematch with James Gallagher. And I'll go through anybody just to get that rematch. And this is what drives me the most. Anger and passion about MMA is because of Gallagher. And the reason why I'm on this 5-fight winning streak is because the passion to fight James Gallagher again. But
What is it about that fight that makes you
want to
get it back so much?
Man, he got me at a really young age in my career, and he was well more experienced in fighting than me. And I think him fighting me now would be a different thing. But that could be another time. That could be into the later on to this conversation.
Okay.
But Tom Mearns, Mike Hales, I would definitely fight Mike Hales in a rematch. Absolutely. I talk to both, you know, Katie, I talk to those guys on a daily. Me and Mike Hales follow each other. Me and Tom Mearns, we talk I told, so I was talking to one of my other guy, BJ, in an interview a couple of days ago, and he told me about Tom Mearns. He was asking me about the Tom Mearns, and I told this, right? I said, me and Tom Mearns talk, Katie, and we express interest of fighting each other. I told him, brother, get better, heal, let's fight each other. I'll contact my folks, contact your folks. Now, a lot of people say I was dodging Tom Mearns. I'm like, hey, I'm not dodging Tom Mearns. Bellator just isn't interested in setting that fight up.
Okay.
You know, it's just something that's out of my hands. Bellator is not going to fly me, waste money to fly me to England on a prelim card to fight Tom Mearns.
Yeah.
And I can't sell tickets in the UK. They rather have Tom fight someone from the UK. That way they can save a plane ticket. He sells tickets. Other guys sell tickets. And they're happy. So it doesn't make sense for them to fight, for me to fight him, unless they're flying out here. Now, they're not flying Tom Mearns out here because he's not a top prospect. He's not something that they look at the moment. So why would they waste their time flying Tom Mearns all the way to the States just to fight Anthony Pretty Boy Taylor on the prelim card?
Yeah.
You know?
So we've got to see you against an American, have we, first? So who are we looking at American-wise?
American-wise, let's see. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know, in a sense, because I like the 155 division, but Antonio looked at me like this. You going down to 145. You ain't staying nowhere near 155. Them dudes are big. So you're going down. So now that I'm going back to 145, Katie, I don't know. Oh, that Dylan Logan kid from Ireland. I would love to fight him.
Which guy, sorry?
He's Dylan Logan?
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name?
Dylan, I think, yeah.
Dylan Logan, yeah, him. Him, definitely would like to fight him. He just talks a lot of smack, you know. But other than that, I don't know who's all in the 145 division. It's been 3 years since I fought in Bellator at that division, so I don't know who's all in it, you know. But right now, I'm just going to take it one fight at a time. But if I had to choose Michaels and Tom Mearns, my top guys to fight. I want to fight those two guys. I've expressed to Bellator, hey, I want to go fight overseas again. I like fighting overseas. More attention on me. I go over Ireland. I'm probably one of the most famous guys in Ireland. You know, everybody knows a Pretty Boy. You know, everybody know who I am. If I go fight one Irish person, they all hype. Surround it. Let's go watch the Pretty Boy. Come on, get your beer. The Pretty Boy about to fight. So.
Yeah, I know you said that, like, it doesn't make financial sense for Bellator to fly you to the UK. And usually I would understand that about an American. But I think we know you so well over here. And, you know, you've built up a bit of a reputation. Like, obviously, the Gallagher fight and then the Bama fights. And they're memorable, you know, the costumes, the dancing, like, you know. Besides the fight, there's all that. So, you know, come on, Bellator. An airfare doesn't cost that much.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it because Tom hasn't really set himself apart in the cage. Did he lose his last fight in Bellator?
I'm not sure, actually. I know he won the one before that.
And the Bellator cage?
I'm not sure. I think he's only had one so far. I can't remember.
He lost that and broke his arm. I remember that's how he broke his arm in the cage.
That's the one against Micah Candeo. I think he's fought since then.
Yeah. So he lost his. I think the reason why I have a big name out there. Yes, I do. But Bellator is not going to see the sense of me fighting him if he doesn't have a name. If they're going to fly me, the Bellator is going to look at it like this. Hey, Anthony, if we're going to fly you to another country, we're not going to fly you to another country to put you on the prelims. We're going to fly you to another country because you're probably the only American that we're flying to another country. We're going to make sure you're on the main card. And we put you on the main card. We got to make sure it's the opponent that's going to match up to a good record as you. And Tom Mearns doesn't have the credibility to be even fighting on the main card no time soon.
Yeah, Okay.
So, I mean, look at Terry Brazier and Soren Bach. Soren Bach, I've already talked to him. I told him to run these hands. He already knew what's up. Patty Pimblett, I called him out. Cage Warriors wouldn't even – I even offered Cage Warriors. I said, hey, I'll fly my own self out there to fight Patty. Patty and Stormbach, they said, no, we don't want Americans and Russians on our card. I'm like, okay, cool. So I've already reached out to Cage Warriors. They said, F off. We don't want you. You know, we don't want Americans because all you guys do is wrestle.
Oh, Charmin. How does that feel?
It doesn't. I mean, look at the caliber of fighters they have. I mean, I got into it with Patty. Patty was talking mess about America. I'm like, dude, you talk all this mess about America, but then you've been at Cage Wars for like 5 years and you talk about going to the UFC and you still haven't left. And it's like 30 other fighters who left to the UFC before you.
Oh, so a bit of beef there with you and Patty then. Oh,
me and Patty always have beef. I just, no beef. I just like to antagonize him. I just think he's funny with the haircut. I think he's a good kid. He has a good skill set. I just like antagonizing other fighters. You know, I've reached out to a lot of champions there that I wanted to fight. But, you know, like I said, Cage Warriors didn't want me fighting on their card. They don't want Americans fighting on their cards. When you think about Americans and Russians fighting on English promotion, it causes a lot of risk. There's, okay, Americans wrestling, Russian sambo grappling, you know. It poses a threat to their card.
It's also, Cage Warriors are very cost conscious. So, yeah, we do see them way more of a European promotion and, you know, they have a lot of local fighters on the card. I wouldn't expect them to fly Americans over. They're very economical.
I'd be like, man, y'all need a little flavor because y'all be having Patty come out to that one song. I'll be like, man, I don't even watch Cage Warriors. But, you know, that tells you how good Bama was at the time.
Yeah.
And Bama at the time was better than Cage Warriors because they had a lot more diversity in all, yeah, in all categories. And they sent a lot of fighters to the UFC. But, you know, kudos to David Green. You know, you the man for building a good promotion and now working with Bellator and helping out in the European market. Kudos to you, David Green. And you too, Drew Samuels.
So if the road back is to James Gallagher, if that's like the goal to get that rematch, like what are the steps? How many fights do you think between here and fighting him? And also, how do you think that he's going to get on February the 22nd?
I don't know if you saw my Twitter post. Did you remember when I posted that conversation with me and James? I said, I posted a screenshot of me and James Gallagher fighting. I said, James, give me a rematch. Let's fight again. He's like, you suck, haha. Win more fights, then I will fight you again. So James said, I will fight you again if you win more fights. What a 7-5 record, that's not believable for Bellator. I think if I get to 10-5, they'll possibly give me a rematch.
Okay. And how do you think he's going to get on in his next fight? He's fighting Cal Pacino.
He's a bum. I'm not going to say he's a bum, but he's expected to lose. I don't see nothing. Like, he's fighting small 135ers. These guys are tiny, puny, and small.
Who do you think is expected to lose? James?
No. Al. Al's going to lose.
Ooh. I'm not sure about that.
I mean, it's hard because you're going against a grappling against a grappler. Who has better grappling? That's the thing. Who has more grappling experience against top level guys in the cage? You know, but when it comes to matchmaking, Gallagher does a good job and his coach, but Gallagher dodged a lot of bullets because he dodged Adam Borix, which he was supposed to fight, but he got injured. And we knew how that was going. We knew how that was going to turn out if he would have fought Borix. He was supposed to fight AJ McKee, but we knew how that was going to happen. But he dodged a bullet. I think Gallagher comes back to 145 because if he's trying to go for the title, he's going to have to try to go through three guys. He's going to have to try to get through Juan Archuleta, Darian Caldwell, and Patrick Mix. And those three fights are not going to go well with that. So I think I got Gallagher winning by a split decision against this guy. Coming up.
I'm interested. We'll all be watching, I'm sure.
Hey, but I say this. Anyone pulls out, if he pulls out, I'll be willing to step in and fight Gallagher as a replacement.
So you just stay ready.
I'm ready. I literally just got out of training. I'm ready. Like, we can do this now. You know, I'm ready. I just got done fighting. No scratches. I look pretty. You know, did I tell you Chris Avila filed something about trying to overturn his loss?
No.
Yeah.
He's trying to
overturn that majority decision and saying they weren't scoring the fight correctly. On Twitter, somebody broke it. News. I looked at him like, man, them Diaz boys, they don't know when to take an L.
So, did he actually officially put in a complaint?
Yeah, he actually did. But they're going to deny it because how are you gonna oversee a majority decision?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like you just can't do that. Like, has it ever been happened before?
Well, and a lot more people with a lot better case, they're almost nearly always just nothing happens about them, you know? Like, even, you know, Holly Holm complained about Duran hitting her after the bell, and even that's not overturned. So I can't see someone just complaining about judging.
Mm-hmm.
People disagree with judges' scorecards all the time.
Yeah, it's not like they're going to bring them in and be like, oh, so what do you feel? They're going to tell the judge, hey, we felt that Anthony did more.
Yeah.
And he did more damage in the cage. Are you questioning my judging of what I see? There's no favoritism here. They both have an even record. We felt like the other guy did more. The other judge felt like it was the draw. Well, if Chris Avila would have got a point taken away for what he did in the first round after the bell kicking me, after the bell off him, he would have got a point taken away. Anthony would have won by unanimous decision because he would have got a point taken away, and that fight would have never been a draw when that one judge would have gave it to him.
Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, I'm coming for James Gallagher. I'm coming for Mike Hales. I'm coming for Tom Rims. I'm coming for the whole European market. They ain't safe. No one's safe in the European market. Everybody knows this is a pretty boy show. Everybody knows what it is when I'm out there. The women love me. The men want to be like me. Look at me, man. I'm California dreaming. Like Tupac, baby. They already know. I'm coming in with the high bling. You know, everybody loves me out there in England and Ireland. Like, if it was just me and Gallagher, we'd be the whole main card. They don't need prelims. We'll bring up the ratings to 1.5 million. We don't need no prelims or main cards. Just me and Gallagher. We just do a three-day fight scene. One best out of three every day.
That's amazing. That's a great note to end on. Have you got anything else that you want to talk about before we finish up?
I mean, that's all I know for. That's all I have. You know, if anything pops up, you know, I can see what goes down. Right now, we're in talks with Bellator to hopefully get me on another fight eventually soon. I don't know when, but I definitely hope I can get on that the Italy card.
We all hope that you get on a card soon as well. Please come back on and tell me about your next fight once it's announced.
Yes.
It's so great to see you back in a Bellator cage.
Thank you, Katie. Sorry about the lighting. I got the sun all in my face.
Oh, no, you look great. Don't worry.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for interviewing me.
Let's keep that five win streak going on and on and on.
Up and away.
Thank you so much. You take care.
Anytime, Katie. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate you.
Thanks, everyone, for watching.
Okay. Thank you.